Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Tulips in Tuscany podcast. We're your hosts, Steffi,
Paige,
and Sarah.
And we're on a mission to share your stories and provide some awesome resources for families touring Holland.
We are three moms to some pretty incredible kiddos, and we're excited that you're here to navigate this unexpected journey with us through beautiful Holland. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast. Whether you're listening for the first time tonight or if this is part of your weekly ritual, we're so glad to have you and appreciate each and every listener. Tonight, we're going to sit down and chat with Jenna Baker of Baker Banter. And now, a word from our sponsor.
I don't know about you guys, but Joshua is a pretty picky eater. He has quite a few sensory issues with certain foods, which makes it sometimes difficult to get him all the fiber he needs to maintain a healthy gut. Lately, we've been trying out High Fiber for Kids, which is a clear liquid fiber that can easily be added to your kid's favorite drink. Joshua doesn't even notice it's in there. We love it because it has 6 grams of fiber in 1 liquid tablespoon. There's no mixing required like your other typical bulking fibers, and it has a FOS prebiotic to help feed the healthy bacteria that are already in the gut, which ultimately promotes more regular bowels. The best part is that it's not a laxative or a stimulant, so your child will never become dependent on it. It's free from PEGs, which can be found in fibers like Miralax. So I highly recommend you try out High Fiber for Kids. They're available on Amazon, and you can check them out by visiting the link in our podcast notes. You guys may recognize them from a popular TikTok page called Baker Banter, where they share what it's like living with their awesome brother, Derek, who has Down syndrome. So we want to welcome Jenna, and we're so excited to have you.
Thank you. Welcome. Happy to be here.
Thanks, okay, so to start off, we thought you could just tell us a little bit about your sibling relationship, and you have 2 siblings.
Yes. So I am the oldest and Derek is the middle. And then we have our younger sister, Katie. There is about 4 years between each of us. So I'm 27, Derek just turned 24, and Katie will be 20 next week.
Ooh, that's exciting.
So yeah, we are very, very close. We have always been close. Derek is kind of, I hate to say the glue that holds us together, because there's not necessarily like anything pulling us apart, but like Derek is the, you know, just life of the party all the time. And Katie and I are just his biggest supporters. And, you know, sometimes we get along really, really well, but sometimes there's definitely, you know, I tend to play a little bit more of the mom role being the oldest. And so Derek definitely listens to me better than he listens to Katie. But we have a lot of fun. We love being with each other. We love hanging out. We talk about anything and everything. And yeah, we're just really, really close.
That's funny. I'm thinking back when you said that you're the mom type. So the very first TikTok that I ever saw of you guys that popped up on my For You page was the one where he was making his coffee or his creamer with a little bit of coffee. And one of you, I don't know if it was you, it probably was asking him about his coffee and if he wanted to add some coffee to his creamer. And he was giving you so much sass, and it was the funniest TikTok, but it's just sounds like your relationship in a nutshell.
Well, all of us, all 5 of us in the Baker family are sassy. All of us are loud. We generally call ourselves we've been known to call ourselves the loud family, because the volume rises when the 5 of us are in the room. Like, it just does.
That's so fun, though.
And so we definitely have a lot of sass. We are loud. You can't miss us if we're there, especially if Derek's there. So
That's awesome. There's
a lot of love to go around, but there's definitely a lot of sass that goes along with that.
Sounds like
that's okay. That's not a bad thing. So we want to hear it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I'm going to start with some of the heavier questions. Can you tell us what were some of the biggest challenges growing up with a sibling who has Down syndrome?
So, you know, this question is kind of hard for me, if I'm being honest, because I think everyone has challenges, obviously, growing up. There, you know, everybody's dealt a different hand, and that comes with positive things, that comes with challenging things. So for me, I don't see it as a challenge necessarily. Like, to call growing up with Derek a challenge just doesn't really feel authentic to me because it just is my life. And yeah. Derek was born when I was 3.5 years old. So all of my memories for my entire life have been being Derek's older sister. And that's always been a part of who I am, who our family is. So do we have challenges? Sure. But I don't necessarily think that that's because of Derek's diagnosis, if that makes sense. Sure. I think that our lives 100% have been shaped because Derek has Down syndrome, and we carry ourselves and we live our lives in such a manner because Derek has Down syndrome, but that's just a part of who all of us are. And it's something that I think just saying it's a challenge because he has Down syndrome just doesn't feel right to me, if that makes sense. Not that it's a bad thing if someone else says that, but for me, it's just, this is my life. This has always been my life. And has my life been challenging at times? Sure. But I don't necessarily think that that's ever been something that I'm like, this has been a challenge in my life because Derek has Down syndrome. Does that make sense?
It does.
Makes a lot of sense.
And that's a great, I mean, that answer, like I would hope that one day that would be an answer that my daughter, typical daughter, would give about her brother. It's a very interesting way to put it. And
well, and it's different because all three of us have children with a diagnosis and, you know, different diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's different to hear it from a sibling perspective, especially whenever you guys are only about 3.5 years apart. So that's kind of just been your norm, you know?
So for me, my younger son, Ezra, is about 3 years apart from Tristan. So he would be, I guess, the Katie to Tristan, who has Down syndrome. So that is just really interesting to hear it from your perspective growing up, that although things haven't always been peachy, that you view it as just being part of your life and you love it. That's really, it makes me really happy.
It just is who we are. It's not because specifically because of Derek or because Derek has Down syndrome. It's just that's a piece of our family. Just like I am shorter than Katie and she's the younger sister. Like that's just a part of who our family is. Like it's not because of one specific thing. And I think that that's just the most truthful answer. I mean, could I come up with specific challenges? Sure, probably.
Right. And like you said, I mean, I have siblings as well. And just like you said, every sibling set typical, you know, it doesn't matter. Everyone has their challenges. So that was definitely not an answer I was expecting, but I love it. And like I said, I hope one day that's like an answer that my middle child, Ella, who is typical, can give about her siblings. It was a really, really interesting way to answer that question. And I loved it. So,
well, thank you.
Did you ever wonder or worry about what people would think or your friends specifically about you having a brother with special needs?
So I think it's hard for me to remember how I felt when I was really young, like elementary school even younger than that. Like it's hard for me to really put into words if I know how I felt then, looking back on it now. But for me, everyone in my life knows about Derek. For my entire life, that's how it's been. Like, I am proud to be Derek's sister. I talk about Derek everywhere I go. If someone has encountered me in my life and didn't know about Derek, then they didn't play a very significant role at all, because everyone has always known that I have a brother with Down syndrome and his name is Derek, and that I have a brother named Derek and he has Down syndrome and he is hilarious and awesome. And so I think that I've never really necessarily, I think my parents did a really good job of raising us in such a way that Derek having Down syndrome just is what it is. It's not something to worry about. It's not something to be ashamed of or to care what other people think about it. It just is my life. And we still kind of have this, but there's not nearly as many new people coming into our world as back when I was in high school and that sort of thing. But when I was in high school, I always had new friends coming in and out of the house. Our house was like the house where everybody hung out. And so if it was the first time somebody was coming over, it was kind of like, okay, you know, you got to pass the Derek test. And in order to pass the Derek test, pretty much Derek just has to like you. And Derek likes everybody. So it's really hard to fail the Derek test, but I can't even think of a situation where somebody did fail the Derek test, because generally speaking, like everyone we brought into the house, I knew would get along great with Derek and everyone else. And I wasn't gonna, you know, bring people that I didn't think would be able to be comfortable around Derek or whatever you want to call it. But we did, we would call it the Derek test, and it would be like, well, I mean, I don't know. Did you pass the Derek test? And so Derek really likes his room, and he really gets excited when new people come to the house because he gets excited to show them his room. So that's kind of like the hardest part of the Derek test, because we just let him take them. We're like, go on, go to Derek's room.
We'll see you in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we don't necessarily join them in Derek's room. We just let Derek go take them and we see what happens. And if it's been a while, we'll, you know, if it's been 10
minutes, 2 hours later,
we might go check on them. But like for the most part, we're just like, okay, bye. Like have fun with Derek. And then whatever it is that Derek wants to talk about that day, sometimes he just wants to show something off, or sometimes he wants to tell them, you know, nowadays it's always about WWE.
Yeah.
So, but we just let people go. And I really can't remember a specific instance where I think anybody failed the Derek test. But for me, it's just, you know, anyone significant in my life, whether it's classmates or coworkers or sorority sisters or, you know, whoever, employers, everyone that has ever been significant to me has known about Derek. And that is just a piece of who I am. And, yeah, and it's something that I'm proud of. And I talk about Derek constantly. Like I love to tell a good Derek story. And I just think that it's, you know, sometimes people don't know what Down syndrome is, like when I was significantly younger. I mean, nowadays I feel like when I was growing up in elementary school, middle school, high school, I didn't have classmates with Down syndrome. Yeah. I wish I would have, but I didn't. But then Derek, when my parents were putting Derek through elementary school, I always say, like, I don't know who, and I don't know how, I think all of your little ones are pretty young, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'll just give you this because this is what my mom used, but I'm assuming that nowadays it's probably way better than it was when Derek was starting elementary school. But my mom, and I don't know who gave her this piece of advice, but my mom always said, Derek needs to be in the most general population class and setting as possible, as much as possible, because for the rest of Derek's life, he will be surrounded by people smarter than him. And he needs to learn how to function in that setting. And he needs to learn how to be in a room full of people who are different than him and be okay. And if he doesn't start at 5 with his peers, how is he ever going to do that as an adult? And so my mom pushed our elementary school, middle school, and high school. And I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure Derek was one of the first, if not the first person with Down syndrome to go through the Parkway School District the way he did, because my mom said, no, don't you dare put him in a special education classroom for every single day, every hour of every day, because that's not what real life looks like for him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be surrounded by people who have disabilities for all the time.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I have to say, on the flip side of that as well, not only does it benefit Derek in that situation, it benefits every single peer that was in that classroom because they get to see Derek and they get to learn about Derek and who he is. And so, you know, we talk about that on our podcast a lot too, is just the advocacy of that and pushing for inclusion and being around each other, because it, you know, it doesn't just benefit Derek, it benefits all of those students who are around him. And now all of those students probably think back like, oh yeah, you know, fourth grade, I had a person with Down syndrome in my class and he was funny and he did this, etc. And so, it, you know, a domino effects. And so absolutely, when Joshua's, you know, at that place where he's ready to be in a gen ed classroom, I'm going to push for that because I think it's going to benefit not only him, but his peers as well.
He actually, so I don't know what year it was, but it was high school. And in high school, he was in the special education classroom more often than he was in the lower level grades, just because, I mean, he wasn't taking pre-calc, you know, he wasn't taking biology. He took a lot of general education classes, but a lot of the things that Derek needed to learn in order to progress his own education needed to be done in a special education classroom. He actually, we had some problems with some bullies in high school, and he was getting bullied in the special education classroom.
Oh, no.
Because he had so many typical friends that were his peers that other kids with special needs had a hard time processing why Derek was so popular, if you will, with everyone else. And Derek didn't sit at the table with all the kids at lunch with that had special needs. Derek sat with whoever he wanted to sit with. Some days he sat with the girls, some days he sat with the boys. Sometimes he used to be a freshman sitting with the seniors because a bunch of the seniors were my friends that were still in high school when he was a freshman. So we actually had some problems with him getting bullied in the special education classroom because he had so many typically developed peers that he was friends with, and those other kids had a hard time dealing with that or processing that or understanding.
Yeah. Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I don't know if I've ever heard that before.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that before either.
Derek likes people and people like Derek.
Hey, that is a great skill set to have.
Yeah. He sounds like he's easy to like.
So does his relationship look different with different siblings, or is he the same with each of you?
Yes, his relationship looks very different with me and Katie. And sometimes I feel bad because I'm his favorite. Like,
don't tell Katie.
No, she knows. We just made this like really fun song. I have a friend who's a rapper, and so for our 1 year anniversary of Baker Banter, we made this Baker Banter song. Derek's always wanted to be a rock star, so I was like, this song, like, this would be so fun. And so in the song it actually says like, Jenna's the favorite sister that he has, and then it's like, but Katie second place is not too bad. But we also, when we were in, so for Derek's 16th birthday, we threw him a surprise birthday party. And at the birthday party, we did one of those games where it's like, guess the person's answer. So we had all these questions, and it was like Derek's favorite color, Derek's favorite TV show, Derek's favorite artist or whatever. And Katie and I had to answer the questions. And then Derek wrote his answer down and like revealed his answer. So at the time I was in college, and my mom and Katie had made this game. I knew I was playing the game, but I didn't know what any of the questions were going to be. And then the very last question, and this was supposedly, this is Katie's idea. The very last question was, who's Derek's favorite sister? And all three of us wrote Jenna.
That's including funny.
Katie.
So but it's not a secret.
No, it's not. But okay. So Katie and Derek grew up together. Like, by the time they were teenagers, I was out of the house. Yeah. And they shared a bathroom. They have been right down the hall from each other forever. Katie's lock on her door doesn't even work anymore, so Derek can barge in whenever he wants. And she does the same to him. So the two of them, and I think also in Derek's head, like, Derek knows he's older than her. So in Derek's head, he's like, I'm your older brother. You don't get to tell me what to do. Like, leave me alone. So it's just a lot harder for her, you know, when they're out in public, and Katie's the one driving, and you know, like, yes, you're older than her, Derek, but Katie's in charge, you know, but it's just a lot harder for him to accept that, I think. So it's something that we definitely joke about a lot. Our Baker Banter followers, a lot of them even know that Jenna's his favorite. But it's all like fun and games. He loves us both very, very, very much. But I think just because he is older than Katie, and I've always been a motherly figure to him because I've always been parent number three, he has a hard time letting Katie be parent number four. and listening to her or taking direction or, you know, anything like that. So the two of them definitely butt heads a lot more often than Derek and I do.
I feel like that's pretty typical though. Like the middle child, I feel like, is usually closer with the older sibling, and then like the annoying little sibling is, you know, it's like that rivalry. I don't know. I feel that's typical.
There's definitely some rivalry going on.
I already see that with my two. Tristan gets so irritated with Ezra. Like, Tristan can break the rules and do whatever the crap he wants to do. But the second Ezra starts breaking the rules, Tristan hops off the chair and starts like scolding him and telling him what to do. And I'm like, what is happening here? I'm the parent. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so do you think that your personal experience with Derek's diagnosis has shaped your career path at all?
Okay, well, obviously I'm here. So yes, but it's funny because I went to college. I went to Mizzou. Mizzou, I don't know if you know, but Mizzou is very, very well known for its journalism school. I would assume it's still the number one journalism school in the world or in the country. When I went there, it was the number one journalism school in the country. And when I started, I wanted to be the next Erin Andrews. I loved sports. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And I went through 4 years in videography and journalism school. And by the time I was in, like, probably halfway through my second year, I knew I was never, ever, ever going to pursue a job in a newsroom or to be actually ever become a sportscaster of any sort. Like, that was not, after going through school, that I knew that version of the degree I was getting was not what I wanted to do. But I love video storytelling. I've always enjoyed videography and video storytelling. And I've said for a really long time that, you know, my dream job would be to make videos about people with disabilities and Derek and our lives. And I've been manifesting this whole, I'm going to use the video skills that I learned and the communication skills and the marketing skills that I learned in college, but I don't really want somebody else to tell me what to make the videos of. I want to make the videos of what I want to make the videos of. And so I think that I didn't necessarily choose broadcast journalism knowing that that was going to turn into what it is today, but I stuck it out knowing that someday my dream would be able to make the videos I want to make. I don't want to make videos that other people tell me what to do. And generally speaking, a newsroom is just way too negative for me. Like, that's not, I like positive things. I like telling positive stories, and the newsroom is just not a place to be able to do that all the time. So, and then fast forward, I graduated. I had one job out of college that was kind of like, it was just a job, but then I started working at, iHeartRadio, and I was in sales for iHeart. And while I was in sales at iHeart, that was back in like 2017, I met a gal and we actually started a nonprofit together. So our nonprofit's called Festability. And basically Festability is a celebration of disabilities. And we host it every year at the end of July. The Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law on July 26th, 1990. So we've hosted it at the end of July to celebrate that date. And basically it's a big celebration. We invite people of all different types of abilities. We have, you know, the Down syndrome community represented in autism, and the deaf community and the blind community and cerebral palsy and all disabilities. We come together, we celebrate, there's a stage. It's a lot of fun. So that obviously, I wanted to get involved with that because of my having Derek as a brother. So yeah, I think Derek has absolutely shaped the way in which my life has gone. And I think that I have always had a passion about communication and public speaking and all of those sorts of things. And I, for a long time, I was like, but what am I going to do with it? And it's been under my nose the whole time that the best thing I could ever do with it is spread positive messages about Down syndrome and the disability community. And the fact that here we are now, and that's what I'm getting to do, is just truly a dream come true for all of us.
That's so amazing. Yeah, that's- I'm looking at the website right now. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe like, I'll have to road trip at the end of July to come celebrate.
Okay, so with won't actually be having it this year, unfortunately. So we've hosted it at the Missouri History Museum twice. Okay. Last year it was virtual. The History Museum knows that they can't host it this year. So we're holding off on this year so that we can come back in 2022 and have like the biggest festivity yet, because Baker Banter didn't exist for the first two in-person festivities.
Uh-huh.
And now Baker Banter exists. So I'm like, okay, you guys better watch out. Like,
okay, so 2022, I'll be there.
July 2022, put it on your calendar.
I got it. I got it.
All right. We're going to be there. Okay, let's get into some of the lighter, fun questions. Tell us what you all like to do together. What are some of your favorite hobbies?
Okay, so we have a lot of fun. And so Derek loves WWE. I know a lot more about WWE now than I did a year ago before we started Baker Banter. We love to play games. Derek loves, what's that game? Heads Up.
You know, I love Heads Up.
Oh, yes.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I actually get really frustrated when we play it because Derek cheats and it really makes me mad. Because he'll like see what the other person has on their head and he'll start asking questions about that character. So then that person can figure out who it is. We always play the Disney version too. Derek loves Disney. We've always loved Disney. We've grown up as a Disney channel watching family. So High School Musical and Hannah Montana and all those things. I grew up watching those with Derek, and Derek still watches lots of Disney, even though he focuses mostly on WWE now. But yeah, we also go to the river a lot. Our parents, we have a cabin down on, we don't say what river it is, but down south in southern Missouri, we have a cabin. So we like to go down to the river every summer. We go multiple times. And we actually, the cabin got, there was a big flood back in 2017. So the original cabin got uprooted and moved. So the new cabin is almost done. So we're really excited because this year we're going to be able to go down a lot because the new cabin's almost done.
That's so exciting.
We're a big sports family. We've grown up on Cardinals baseball. We love the Blues. I went to Mizzou, so we're all Mizzou family, but the rest of the family went, my parents and Katie all went to Missouri State. So, but I went to Mizzou, so they all cheer for my SEC football team and don't do it anymore now that she's in college. But for years, we went to so many softball games, and we always, the four of them went even more than I did because I was older and had, you know, gotten to college and stuff. But we have grown up doing softball and I played soccer and volleyball, and Derek plays a lot of Special Olympics. So we love to go to all his Special Olympics events. And yeah, I don't know. We do.
These are a fun family.
What age did he get started with Special Olympics?
So, you know, my mom just told this story recently. We did an interview with Sports Illustrated, and I got to hear my mom tell the story, and I didn't really remember the story the way she did, because, you know, she was the one taking him to practice and stuff. So he started, I believe it was like seventh grade, and he was not having it. Like, he didn't want to participate. They had the practices at this like church. And so there was like a stage, and only he used to sit on the stage and he would not play. He would watch. My mom would make him go, but he wouldn't play. He would just sit on the stage. He was always so, like, I don't know if he was nervous or just uncomfortable or what, but he didn't want to go. And then after, like, I think she said almost 2 months of this going on, where he would go to practice and just sit on the stage, one day the coach was like, all right, come on, everybody, let's go, like, round up kind of thing. And she looked at Derek and she's like, do you want to come? And he got off the stage and he went. And the rest is history. He has just, he's done basketball. He does a lot of swimming. He actually swam for the varsity swim team for 4 years in high school, which was an awesome experience because he was able to be on the varsity team, but, and actually compete without, you know, necessarily like hindering other people, if you will. I don't like to use that word, but you know what I mean? But he was able to be on the team and participate with all the other varsity athletes for 4 years, which is awesome. And, but yeah, so Special Olympics, he's been doing that since about, I guess he was probably about 12 at the time.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
What is something that Derek has taught you that maybe you carry with you today, or like a valuable lesson that he's taught you?
I think Derek has just such a way of being so positive and so joyful and so carefree. You know, he doesn't have a lot of things that weigh him down or that he stresses about, or that he lets like get under his skin. Does he have his bad days? Like, absolutely. But for the most part, he's just so positive and such a happy person. So I think that I really have kind of a carefree and joyful approach to life because of having Derek as a brother. And I have a lot of patience because, as you know, Down syndrome does include, you know, sometimes things are a little slow. So we also have a thing called Baker time, and we tend to be late. So that's something that we're not very good at, but that's because we have Baker time.
I must be on Baker time too, because I'm late all the time. But
yeah. My boyfriend's like, you know, you can't call it Baker time and blame it on Derek when Derek's not here. And I'm like, but this is how I've lived my whole life. Okay. Yep. My whole life I have moved slowly. Okay. So sometimes I'm just slow. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. And I think also this is something that I say a lot, that I don't get embarrassed very easily because Derek doesn't have a filter. So sometimes Derek just says what Derek thinks. And when Derek says what Derek thinks, if I choose to feel embarrassed, I would be embarrassed a lot because Derek just says things. So I don't feel embarrassed very often at all because I'm so used to Derek just saying whatever he wants. One time in high school, I had a boyfriend for a while. We had broken up. We were, you know, doing what high schoolers do and getting back together. And he was back over at my parents' house for the first time in however many months, I don't know. And Derek walked in the house and saw him for the first time. And he looked at him and he's like, "What are you doing here? I thought you got dumped." And I'm like, "Okay, nice to see you too, buddy." But yeah, so that's another thing that it's just like, I don't get embarrassed very easily because if I did, then Derek would have embarrassed me my whole life. And that's not... that's not how I want to feel. Yeah. So we just roll with the punches and sometimes things get said that you're like, "Oh, yep. Well, that's true. Okay." Great. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Well, it sounds like a lot of his characteristics or, you know, his positivity definitely wore off on you too. Cause I can tell just from chatting with you that you're a really positive person.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I like to think I'm a positive person for sure.
I love that so much about siblings of children or adults with disabilities, how the perspective most of them, you guys have on life is just so different and almost like an unbridled kind of joy, which I just made an Instagram post about this. I really love that about my son, how he just says what he thinks. And if you're doing something that he doesn't like, he will let you know and,
oh yeah,
you know, really sass you about it. And then you're just like, "What? Did a 4-year-old just do that to me?"
Yeah, they still do that at 24.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear more of what is in store for me. So we know you have a popular TikTok page called Baker Banter. Everyone listening needs to go check this out. I promise you, you're going to love it. And so, Jenna, you said you had a background in marketing and videography and that kind of stuff. So how did you actually get started doing TikTok?
Yes. So Derek has always wanted a YouTube channel and we have been talking about it for years. Because I've had a background in marketing and videography, I would never let him do it without me. So I've been pushing him like, I'll get there. I promise we'll do it. And then last year when the lockdown first went into place, I actually got sent home from work on St. Patrick's Day. And at the time, Katie had gotten sent home. She was a freshman in college. She had gotten sent home. We did know that all of a sudden we were going to have a lot of time on our hands. And we also knew that the world could use some positivity and the world could use some laughter and some joy and some happiness. And Derek has brought that into our lives for our whole lives. And he's brought that into the lives of our friends and our family, and everyone who knows us has experienced the joy that Derek brings. And so we thought that, you know, I talked to Katie and I was like, this is it. Like, let's make Derek a YouTube channel. All of a sudden we have all this extra time on our hands. The world needs some positivity. We have something to share. Like, let's do this. And so she said, well, if you're going to be on YouTube, you got to be on TikTok. And I was like, okay, what's TikTok? And we downloaded TikTok and it just kind of worked out that we did not plan this at all, but I actually recorded like 3 different versions of what I wanted our first video to be. And I didn't like any of them. Like, they didn't feel authentic. I wasn't really getting the message across that I was trying to get across. And my roommate at the time, who has no background in marketing at all, she's a nurse, she has no idea how to manage social media or anything, she was like, well, why are you making it so complicated? You guys take videos and send us videos of Derek being hilarious all the time. Why don't you just put them all in the same place? And then the light bulb went off and I was like, boom, that's brilliant, Sarah. Thank you. That was the simplicity I needed. And so then it just happened to work out that the day she said that was World Down Syndrome Day. So I was like, okay, change of plans, scrap everything we've done this week. We got to start fresh. This is how we're going to do it. And we made this YouTube video, Katie made a TikTok, and we launched a YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram on World Down Syndrome Day of 2020. And
I can't believe that's only been a year. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of growth you guys
have. And that is impressive. I know. 2.5 mil. We were just looking at it before. I mean, that's just crazy in a year.
Yeah. So a week later, I lost my job. At that point, it was like, okay, now we really have a lot of time on our hands. And I was like, you know, obviously losing your job I was not happy at the time. Yeah. I was crushed. I was very upset. But, you know, the next day it was like, okay.
One door closes, another opens.
Project. I've already started working on this other thing. Like, now I guess this is what I'm doing. And I'm honestly so thankful that I lost my job when I did, because it gave me the time I needed to be able to really turn Baker Banter into what it is today.
That's awesome.
That it sounds like the pandemic was really good to you guys for being able to provide such an awesome outlet for everybody, for the 2.5 million people to learn about Down syndrome and disabilities and how to see things in a positive light.
Yes. So I will say we actually only have 2.2 million followers.
Are you sure? Because we just looked right before. I could have sworn 2.5. I'm going to go look now.
I mean, either way, that's insane.
Yeah, either way.
It's crazy.
I just like wanted to like 2.2.
Like that.
I round it up for you guys. You'll get there.
We're going to hype you guys up on the podcast. Come on, guys. 2.5.
That's amazing. Amazing. So I can imagine that having that many followers, you might get some haters. How do you deal with the cyber bullies or hate comments? Or maybe you don't get any.
We're haters. We're so old now. We're like,
So that's a good question. But I think, I don't know if any of you guys know the Bobby Bones show.
Yeah. How do I? Why do I know the Bobby Bones Show?
The Bobby Bones Show. So it's a radio show. They
That's how I know it. Yeah. Continue. Yeah.
Okay. So when I graduated college, I started listening to the Bobby Bones Show on my way to work every morning. They're located in Nashville. They're a country music radio show. And they're syndicated over to like over 150 cities around the country. But I started listening to him and his team and his friends. And I basically got my job at iHeartRadio because I started listening to him and I started learning about the radio industry. And I realized that there was an iHeartRadio in St. Louis and I applied and here we are. Between him and I'm a huge Bachelor fan. Yeah. So I follow all of the Bachelor people. And I have just really, having a media background and having a communications and a journalism background, I follow those people, I think, a little bit differently than like a lot of my friends do. Like a lot of my friends really only look to them for the entertainment piece, whereas I have always looked to all of them to see how they handle situations and how they navigate adversity and how they approach different things that happen. And so I think I have not necessarily intentionally, but just because that's how my mind works and that's media has always been something that's been interesting to me. I've always kind of tried to learn from other people and how they handle things. And so I think like going into creating Baker Banter, I 100% knew there was going to be haters. And I knew that we weren't going to have success without having people saying negative things, because that's just how the internet works. Is it annoying and is it frustrating? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I very much expected it. And the first time we got a hateful comment, I was like, oh, we got haters. Let's go. Like, we made it. We have haters. That means we're really on the internet.
Okay. But do you have, so my TikTok page, I'm nowhere near you guys, but I have a good handful and I am like the sassiest person. And so I just, my like go-to is sarcasm, which I probably shouldn't do or like even give them like the time of day, but I'm just like super sarcastic. So I just respond with sarcasm and that's just how I deal. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot, most of it we don't respond to, but every once in a while I'll like say something snarky back to somebody. Like the other day, somebody commented on a video and it was like, "You remind me of my older sister and I hate my older sister." And I just commented back and I was like, "You'll be all right." They responded and they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be mean. I really love
you. I didn't know you were going to respond to me."
Like you just said, "What do you mean you didn't mean to be mean?" You remind me of my older sister and I hate
my older sister. Like,
There's no way to spin that nicely.
No, there's not.
For the most part, we don't respond or engage with that because it's just not, people think that they know our lives just by knowing 1 minute, but they don't.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
So what do you do when you see something that's specific about Derek? Does that still sting a little to hear that from strangers, or are you guys just so well seasoned that, you know, he's 24, you guys have lived a whole life with him that you just don't even pay any mind to it?
I think it just depends on like what it specifically is. You know, it was really hard and it's still hard for my mom to handle it. She reads the comments and takes way too many of them to heart. And Katie and I, being the sassy daughters that we are like, "Girl, come on, we got to toughen up. Like, you got to, mom, they're seven. Like, they don't know what they're talking about."
I don't know who's letting their 7-year-old on TikTok, but
people do.
Most people on TikTok are so young. And I'm just like, "Mom, they're literal babies." Like,
it's always the ones with like no profile pic, no followers. You're like, you just made a troll account. Like, this is literally just a troll account.
I'm like, they're only here to be mean to people. Like, you can't let that get to you. But there are some things, like, for example, all of you will experience this probably. Derek has had many girlfriends. Derek claims my friends as his girlfriends. Derek claims Katie's friends as his girlfriends. Derek's like, "Ooh, pretty girl, friends with my sister, girlfriend, boom, you're mine." Like, that's just what he does. And, but he's also claimed like celebrities, like Selena Gomez was his girlfriend and, you know, whatever. So last year, Katie had a new friend at college that Derek didn't know. Derek thought she was cute. And Derek said, this is my new girlfriend. So we started making some TikToks about it and people got really mad. And they were like, how could you let him believe this? And how could you, you know, like they just, the way in which they were really defensive, like they were mad because they thought we were playing with Derek's feelings and they thought we were, you know, doing something that we shouldn't be doing. But in reality, they just don't know the situation. They don't know that this has been going on our whole lives. Derek will say any pretty girl's his girlfriend. Like it's just is what it is. And it's not. And what are we going to do? Just be like, no, Derek, she doesn't really like you. Like he's not trying to make her his girlfriend where he's like trying to take her out on dates and really pursue a legitimate relationship with her. He just says, this is my girlfriend because she's my friend and I like her and she's my girlfriend. Like it's not, you know, but that's hard to explain in a 1 minute video. So my mom, we were getting a lot of hate because of that. Like the most hate we've received about any topic was about Derek and his girlfriend. And she had gotten him, Derek had gotten her a Christmas present. She had gotten him a Christmas present. We made TikToks out of it. And a lot of people were really mad at us about it. So I was like, oh God, like this is something that I can't just sweep under the rug. Like I'm gonna have to address this. Like,
yeah.
How am I going to handle this? So my mom was really upset and she was, her heart was definitely hurting about the whole thing and about the misunderstanding that everybody online was having. And so she basically wrote like an open letter to Baker Banter. And this is an explanation pretty much. So I just took that letter. I tweaked it a little bit, added a couple things here and there and like helped her massage it to be the best version of itself. And then we just put it out there and we were like, if you want to understand more, this is it. And so we put it out there. And after that, it was like so much better. Everybody was like, thank you for explaining. Thank you for educating us. Thank you for taking the time to clear this up. And like people are very appreciative of it. So I think like for the hate and stuff, sometimes you do have to address it. And if it's becoming so overwhelming that people who genuinely like your page are confused that and like feeling hurt about something because they've misunderstood, then that's definitely a reason to address it. For the
it's
most
so hard
part,
with social media because they, like you said, they only see like such a small snippet of your life. They don't know the backstory. They don't know, you know, the details behind it. So, and when they do care about him, you know, it seems like even though it was hard for you guys that it was coming from a place of like, they wanted to have the best for Derek, you know,
I think that's why we were okay with addressing it because we knew that it was coming from a place of misunderstanding and a place of fear. And they, at the end of the day, Derek's feelings were what they were upset about being hurt. And so we explained it. And now we don't talk about Derek's girlfriends because it's obviously something that we can't explain good enough in a 1 minute video for people to be okay with it. And so we just don't even talk about it. And that's fine. But I think it just depends on like what the situation is. You know, if somebody's putting the R word on our page, like you're just literally deleted, like blocked. Yeah. Goodbye. Like it's
we're not
dealing with that. We're not, I'm not responding to that. I'm not engaging with that. Like it's not happening. But if it's something that people have maybe they might be upset, but they have a genuine question that I know I can answer and I can clear the air, then I will do that. So I think it just depends on the situation.
Got it.
But for the most part, I'm like, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So we posted our question sticker on our Instagram and we usually get a few come in, but you guys are just so popular. We had so many come in. So I tried to just pick a few. We did have a lot of similar ones as well. So we're going to jump into our Q&A segment.
All right. So the first one says, how did your family explain that Derek has Down syndrome? How did you explain it to him and how did he handle it?
So this is tough because far as I know, Derek's always known he has Down syndrome. Like, it's not something that we were like, oh, now he's 10. We got to tell him. Like, Derek's always had Down syndrome. I've always known that. Katie's always known that. And Derek's always known that. I think that for a long time, maybe Derek didn't fully comprehend what that meant. And I don't even know if to this day, Derek fully comprehends what that means. He knows that he has a disability. He knows that he has Down syndrome. I'm pretty sure he would be able to tell you that he knows it is the 21st chromosome or that it has something to do with chromosomes. But it's kind of funny because we try to ask him sometimes a question like this, like, you know, people will ask him, like, how does having Down syndrome affect your life? But like, that's such a hard question because Derek's never not had Down syndrome.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
How does he answer that? He's only ever lived a life with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But it's funny because in the past, we've had this conversation with Derek and I wish I could remember this better because I'm having a hard time, like, remember exactly how he said, but basically it's like, he was like, I have flakes in my hair. And we're like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I have Down syndrome, so I have flakes in my hair. And I'm like, I don't get it. And he's like, you know, the flakes in my hair. I'm like, Derek, you just have dandruff. And he's like, yeah, but it's because I have Down syndrome. And I'm like, okay. And so it's just like, for Derek, that is just who Derek is. Like, everything in Derek's life happens because he has Down syndrome in his eyes, you know, because that just is who he is. So he was like, as far as he's concerned, like, he has dandruff because he has Down syndrome. And he, you know, doesn't like to exercise because he has Down syndrome, which that is true. But it just, I don't know that it's ever something that we've had to like reveal to him, because that we've always talked about it. Like, it's never been a secret. It's always been, this is who Derek is. As long as he's been able to talk and walk and crawl and, you know, have conversations, we've always talked about Derek having Down syndrome.
Yeah, that was a really good question that they asked, because I often like think, you know, flash forward to the future and wonder how I'll tell my son Lane, which he has a genetic disorder. So I don't know. I think about it all the time and how we'll actually tell him, because sometimes people don't even know that he has a disability because he doesn't really have any physical characteristics. I mean, he has a few, but nothing. It just, sometimes people would have a hard time, you know, realizing that he has a disability. So I was really interested to see how you would answer that question, because
I would definitely be beneficial, honestly, if you guys wanted to schedule to have my mom on the podcast. I think she would have a lot of really good stuff for you guys. Like, I obviously have
a good episode,
but I think if you guys wanted to talk to my mom, like, she, oh my goodness, she's an angel.
Yeah,
I mean, love that.
And how you just said, too. You guys just talk about it. And I mean, my son is only 4 right now. So, I mean, I do say, you know, you have Fragile X syndrome or you have autism. And I just try and put it out there now. So just like you said, I think it's something we'll always just talk about. And hopefully it's never like one conversation that we have to have with him.
Or and like it'll just be topic.
Something. Yeah, it'll just be something like he's known because we always talk about it. So
yeah, for us, I feel like we have so many meetings that we go to. We don't have any medical stuff going on right now, but he has the IEP meetings and the therapies and all kinds of stuff that we talk about his challenges. His physical gross motor stuff is really hard for him, but he loves to try to keep up. So we really try to help him be his best self because he wants to keep up and he wants to climb on everything and jump off things and be wild. So we encourage him to do that because that's what he wants to do. But we talk about, okay, well, you got to be careful and things like that. So he kind of knows now if he's about to do something, he'll look at you and go, oh, got to be careful. But he doesn't say, got to be careful because I have Down syndrome. But he just says, I got to be careful. But he can actually say Down syndrome now, and it sounds so cute. But I feel like we talk about it a lot, and I do a lot of stuff, and I have conversations in front of him. And I'm interested to see how that kind of works out with my kid, because we do talk about it so much, like you said.
Like, it's everyday language for us.
Yeah, it's not like it's like a birds and the bees conversation.
Right.
No.
To, like, reveal it. Like, it just is. Like,
right.
I guess more of like, not necessarily the diagnosis itself, but some of the things that come along with it. And I feel like
those conversations kind of come up with time, you know, like random things will spark a conversation for that. I don't know.
Every time I tell Lane that he's autistic, I'm like, you're autistic. He just says, I'm awesome. I'm like, you're right. You're awesome. We'll go with that. You're awesome.
That's exactly what Tristan said on World Autism Day. Yeah, he says, like, he goes, I'm awesome every day. Yeah. I said, yeah, you are awesome every day.
Right. We'll go with that. Awesome. I like it.
Okay. We've kept you for so long. I'm so sorry. So the next question, we already kind of answered this one. So we'll just keep it short and sweet. We talked about his Special Olympics already. So has he ever won any medals with Special Olympics?
Oh my goodness. Oh
my gracious.
Stop.
These are all of
them. Yes. Ooh, and we have Derek. Come tell us which medal's your favorite.
Okay. So these last two questions are really more so for you. So they asked me, have you won any medals in Special Olympics? So I had to show them all medals.
My word.
You guys can actually hear him clinking around.
He has about 200 medals over here.
Oh, a lot.
Okay, don't play with yourself. Okay, so what's your favorite Special Olympics event?
Well, my favorite Special Olympics event always be softball.
Oh, I was a softball player.
Sports, I was too. Softball.
So, and I am the best of there is, the best of was.
He's humble.
And the best, before I get really interrupted, I said, I always be the best it is, the best it was, and best always will be. Because I am the star of Special Olympics, and I won not only the bronze, not only silver, and gold medal.
Wow. What position did you play?
That's awesome.
What position did you play in softball?
Well, take it from my sister. She plays everywhere.
So you played everywhere?
So I do the same thing what she does.
Didn't you play first base a lot?
Who is asking this question?
Well, you're really sassy tonight.
Me.
Roughly.
I used to play softball, so I'm curious which position you played.
Well, that is a good question, because my sister always play softball over the years. Katie plays first base. I play first base.
Oh, nice.
Katie plays in the outfield. I play in the outfield.
What was Katie's main position, though?
I just say it.
No, you didn't. Katie was a pitcher.
Oh, I was a pitcher.
I played left field. I had an arm.
Roughly how many medals would you say was there, since our listeners can't see that? I mean, that was a lot of medals.
I would say there's probably like at least 30.
Leave them out.
If not 40.
I'm trying to interrupt her. I think it's working right now.
Yeah, stop interrupting. That's not very nice.
And don't do it to me when I'm talking.
They asked both of us a question.
No. They asked me the question.
Now I'm regretting.
Okay, we do have a good question for you next, Derek. I'll let Sarah ask it. This is a good one for you.
Okay, Derek, if you could wrestle any WWE superstar, who would it be and why?
It's gotta be John Cena, because he always says he never just gives up. He had that slogan for a year. He never gives up. So I'm gonna regret that decision and make him give up.
That sounds like a good idea. How do you feel about John Cena being in so many movies these days? He's like Mr. Actor now.
He is.
Mr. Actor guy. I gotta admit, John Cena, his career is amazing. First, he was a WWE superstar. And then he becomes a movie actor like The Rock and The Miz. To be honest, I've never seen The Marine, and I don't think seen The Miz in other movies.
Have you seen his movie Ferdinand on Disney?
I love Ferdinand.
Yes, he voices Ferdinand on Disney, and that's currently my son's favorite movie.
Well, this might shock you. I did see that movie.
Oh.
I need to watch that one. I haven't watched it.
And John
it's Cena, really good.
John Cena also stars in an action movie, Fast and Furious 9.
Oh, I didn't even know there was nine
of those now. Holy moly.
I know. Like, The Rock is legit star. And now John Cena is doing the same thing. According to my book, John Cena always be the best there is and the best it was. His time is up. my time is now.
Well, I'd put my money on you, Derek.
Me
for sure.
Too. Me every too. Day.
Okay, Derek, thanks so much for jumping in and answering some questions. And thanks, Jenna, for answering all of our questions earlier. Thank you, listeners, and tuning in every week. We appreciate it so much. Don't forget, there's plenty of ways that you can help support Tulips. You can subscribe and become an official patron and earn awesome patron-only perks. You can also rock some of our merchandise by heading to our shop, and you can help by simply spreading the word. And we just want to say thank you, guys. We had so much fun chatting with you.